Hallelujah. We may take our seats. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We're going to continue with our series on prayer.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we've been talking about prayer. Amen.
Amen.
May the Lord bless his word. We said that prayer is very important. Amen. Prayer is of utmost importance. And we also said that no one is too busy to pray, because even Daniel prayed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Even though he was more busy, or he was busier than you and I, he still prayed. Amen.
Amen.
What else did we talk about? We talked about the fact that it is important to pray, because prayer is the source of our power and protection.
Amen.
Amen. Prayer is the source of our power and our protection.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's very important, because without prayer, we lose out on all that God has provided for and paid for us. Hallelujah. Or at least some of them. Now let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So it is very clear that we must pray all the different types of prayer. Hallelujah. Because we are wrestling against wicked entities. Amen. And then what else did we talk about? We also talked about the fact that pray, because what does prayer do? It is important in what? Acquiring and sustaining what? The blessings of God. Praise God.
Amen.
And we talked about the fact that there's a certain law of degeneration. Amen.
Amen.
Then we began to talk about some of the things that make prayer easier. What do you think? Yes, because prayer is not always easy to do. Hallelujah. So we talked about what are some of the things that will make prayer easier. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, what was the first? Sorry? Pray with a clock. Make sure there's a clock in front of you. Hallelujah. So that you can see the clock. Because you can pray for 30 minutes. Or you might think you are praying for 30 minutes, but you've actually prayed for 8 minutes. It happens all the time. How many have experienced that before? You thought you were praying for 30 minutes. Or they said, let's pray for an hour. You thought you were praying for an hour. You prayed for 19 minutes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So have a clock. What's the next thing we talked about? What else should we do to help us to pray for longer periods of time? Pray with music or a message. Amen. What again? And that's important, because when something is occupying your mind, it's a bit easier. Because we read that when we pray in tongues, our spirit prays, but our minds are unfruitful. Amen. What else did we say? You can watch preaching videos, because it occupies your mind. And a preaching video, if it lasts for 1 hour, and you are praying and watching it, you can easily see that the hour will go by very quickly, because you are interested in what is being said. Hallelujah. Someone said something. Your phone on flight mode or airplane mode or switched off.
Yes.
Hallelujah. What again? And that's important, because the phone is one of the biggest distractions. Facebook. But you see, even when you are taking a break and you're on Facebook, nothing shows that you shouldn't be able to pray in tongues whilst looking at Facebook after you've prayed without Facebook.
Amen.
Don't shut me down now. I'm preaching good here. You see what I'm saying?
After.
Pray before Facebook. And then it doesn't hurt when you are glancing through Facebook, you chip in some tongues. You are driving, you pray in tongues. Pray all the time. You can be praying always as you pray in other tongues. As you are bathing, you are praying in tongues. As you are cooking, you are praying in tongues. As you are driving, you are praying in tongues. Just pray, 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 pray. And then we talked about prayer bombs. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Prayer bombs. Prayer bombs are very important. Concentrated prayer that blasts the enemy. What else did we talk about that helps us to pray for longer periods? Read the Bible. Or Christian and Christian books. I can't say all because the Bible is the most important book. If you read other Christian books and you don't read the Bible, you are not doing well in the total package. Even though you are doing okay, but it's better than nothing because there'll be some scriptures in the book. But it is someone's good interpretation of what the scripture is saying. But God can speak to you through the scriptures. That's why the Bible says that His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So reading the Bible primarily and reading Christian books. Now, if you need to read a lot of Christian books a lot of times and the Bible is primary, that means that you and I need to do a lot of reading. Hallelujah. What else did we talk about that will help? Okay, that's an addition of, it's true, but it is Antoinette addition. Oh, do not disturb, is that it all? No, so when I'm praying.
When you gave the example that sometimes when you are praying and maybe you feel tired, you maybe watch. Like,
yes. Yeah, you're right. You got it. You see, and sometimes what I do is when I'm praying and I'm very sleepy, I do something, unfortunately, because it would have been nice or fortunate for my prayer to be very interesting to me. But when I'm praying and I'm feeling very sleepy, then I go and do research. Some research that is so intriguing that it will boost you up to stay up. How many are getting what I'm saying? And research in terms of just science. I just like to read science, just try to read WebMed, try to read nutrition, try to read Christian proofs, different, whatever will tune your mind, will give you a jolt. Just do it. Hallelujah. Amen. Because there are certain things that help. Hallelujah. Because the main thing is that sleep will try to set on you. And sometimes I can be praying and the sleep is so strong that there's nothing you can do. But some, and of course, you can chew. You need to find some low fat, low carb stuff to put in your mouth. Peanuts did it for me, but you can easily put on weight with peanuts or spoil your weight loss plan. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, whatever you need to do, like Sister Antoinette was saying, try to do, let's look for things that, sorry? Praying with other people is good, but we are talking about Moses kind of prayer where he went alone to have his quiet time with the Lord. You see, I prefer to pray by myself than to pray with others. But I don't mean that I'm not saying one is better than that. I'm just saying that my preference, because you want, unless it's like a corporate prayer and we are praying for something. Hallelujah. But it's easier to pray with others than to pray alone. That's why it's good to develop the habit of praying by yourself. Then when you're praying with others, it will be easier. How many are getting what I'm saying? So, yes, whatever you need to do to distract yourself, do it. Amen. There were some games I used to play, Space Cadets, that would keep me up. But I realized that can also end you into always wanting to play it to finish it. So I stopped it because it can eat up your time. How many are getting what I'm saying? By all means necessary, just find the time to pray. And we said that prayer for less than 1 hour a day is not the best. Because Jesus said, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Okay. How many got that? Very good. Fantastic, yeah. So, yeah, and another thing I do is when you are praying, I try to do my prayer, when I'm writing my prayer time, I try to do it quarterly. No, not quarterly, but every quarter. Meaning that if I pray 36 minutes, I don't want to say I've recorded 30 minutes. I'll try to pray an extra 9 minutes to make it 3/4. What do you think? If I pray 1 hour and 7 minutes and I just have 8 more minutes to make it 1 hour and 15 minutes, I'll just push myself to do that. How many get what I'm saying? So it's always good to record your time. We even have a book of numbers, a book of measurements in the Bible, which shows that God is into numbers. He's able to be specific about numbers, specific about dates, specific about number of people, number of things going on.
Right.
Hallelujah. Amen. So it is also very important for us to do the same. What do you think? Okay. So anything else we talked about before we move on to? Okay. So why do we need to what are some of the other reasons we must pray? Pray because prayer is a great act of faith. Amen. It's a great act of faith. Now let's look at Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8. So remember that the reason that prayer is a great act of faith is very simple. Whenever you pray, you are declaring that you do not have faith in the arm of flesh. If you think about it, when you are praying, if there is an emergency and you spend some of the time to pray or most of the time to pray, instead of trying to solve the problem, you would see that you are actually having faith in prayer, because you feel that prayer is really going to make more of an impact than whatever you will do. How many get what I'm saying? It doesn't mean that you shouldn't plan. The Bible says that the horse is prepared for battle, but victory is of the Lord. So it means that the horse is prepared for battle. You must prepare. But who gives the victory? God. Hallelujah. So in the same way, if there is a major situation, you must try to deal with the situation, but make sure you've giving yourself a good portion of time praying. And that proves that you believe that it is only God who can solve the problem. Even though you can solve the problem, you realize that in the Bible, most of the time in the Bible, when God was going to do something for the people, he always told them to present themselves. More than you can carry. When you look at Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel, you remember that God said, the battle is not yours, but mine. Nevertheless, they needed to present themselves and just dance and sing. Are you getting me? Now, this is a very important parable. The Bible says, and Jesus spoke a parable unto them for this reason, that people should always pray and not give up on prayer and not give up on what they are praying about. Now, what do I mean by that? You can give up on a particular topic you are praying about. Maybe you are praying to God for something. You can give up on that particular thing. Jesus is saying that it's not good to do that. And also, there are certain people who can also give up on the fact that prayer works. Give up their belief that prayer works at all. How many can see that these are two separate things? One is, I give up on this topic. I've prayed to God for it, many times and God hasn't given it to me, most likely God is not going to give it to me. I give up. Jesus, from this parable, Jesus is saying it's not good to do that. Also, I have prayed for 30 things, or ever since I was a certain age, I've heard many people talk about this. Ever since I was a certain age, I've prayed, and God never answers my prayer. There's no point in prayer. These are the two. Jesus is saying, the Bible says, and he spake a parable to them unto this end, that men ought always, always to pray and not faint. And then the Bible says, pray without ceasing. You see, so now it's an act of faith to pray and continue praying. And continue praying. Praying without giving up, because you know the God you serve. Now, Jesus was speaking. So anytime there is a parable, Jesus will say, this is a parable. When it is not a parable, Jesus will say, it is not a parable. How many are getting what I'm saying? Okay. When it's not a parable, Jesus will make it clear that, look, this is not a parable. Lazarus and the rich man, he didn't say anything about parable. He just said that there was a certain rich man and Lazarus. So there was a true person called Lazarus, and there was a true rich man. And this rich man on earth, there was a huge funeral for him, and Lazarus was a poor man who was not regarded on earth. And Jesus was talking about life after death. When one was in Abraham's bosom in paradise, well, not in paradise, in Abraham's bosom in bliss, and another was in torment. Hallelujah. Now, this is a parable. So these are not real characters. But he's giving an example of things that always happen. Now, verse 2. Saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. So this judge did not fear God nor regard man. Now, what this means is important. Otherwise, everything Jesus said was a crucial importance. Now, if the person did not regard man, it means that the person was so proud that, look, if you are not in my league, you are not a certain way, you are not someone I can gain from, get out of my face. He looked down on people. If you were someone who was not prominent or in a high level and you were asking him a question, I don't have an audience for you. Don't waste my time. This man, and because he did not fear God, he didn't think that he could ever be judged or there was accountability at any point. So he felt that I'm a judge, I'm a king, I can do anything I want and there'll be no consequences. So he could be fair, he could be unfair, he could do anything he wanted. That is because he did not fear God. Because when you don't fear God, it's also another level. When you don't fear God, you can do anything. Because there are some people who are good at, if there's no God and you hate someone, and you are very good at hiding things, you can murder many people and don't worry about the consequences. Hitler, if God does not exist or there's no heaven, hell, then he just had a free ride. All the wild guys who killed and take it that Bin Laden hadn't died. Free, Saddam, all these people, free ride. And there are many of those people who will live, kill, commit terrible atrocities and die an old age. It means that they got a free ride to do what they wanted. This is what I'm saying. But of course, that's not the case. So these are people who did not fear God. And that's how this judge was. Okay. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him saying, avenge me of my adversary. Someone is unfair to me. Someone has taken, I'm a widow, and someone has taken my livelihood, kicked me out of my house, and my family is going to be slaves. And look, I'm hopeless. Avenge me. But the king will say, get out of my face. I don't have time for you. But you and I will have some pity. We'll say, oh, let me listen. But get out of here. I don't have time for you. Get out of here. I don't have time for you. That's all he was doing. Are you getting me? And he would not for a while. So after many weeks, months, this widow will continue to come and he would clear her off. Now, it happens on earth. But after a while, afterward, he said within himself, even though I don't fear God and I don't regard the person of man, unless he is another king or another judge, anyone who is beneath me, I don't respect, I walk on. And I don't fear God too. That's the worst person to be under. You'll be an ant and be punished regularly as an ant. Yet because this widow troubleth me. Now, so Jesus is saying that, look at someone who doesn't believe in God or fear God nor regard man. Now, if a widow is coming every day to him, and he is getting rid of her, you see, anyone who has been a parent, you see, or seen kids relate with their parents, will be able to appreciate the way, you see. Yet, because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now, this is very important, because when a child is looking for a particular thing, and you tell them that no, and you are sitting there doing stuff, and then you see someone just walking like this, what is it? Oh, no problem. You'll be tired. I'm telling you, you'll be tired. You'll be weak. And you tell the person, get out, please, just leave me alone. They'll leave you alone. But when you see them, look, you just do what you want. Just do it. How many are getting what I'm saying? So how much more this judge who would be eating? As soon as he finishes eating, he's relaxing, and then he sees the widow coming. Get away! No problem. The next day, no problem. Where are the people? The widow coming. At a point, let me just give it to her because she's troubling me. I'm weak. Very good. Verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, saith. Even an unjust judge would grant someone their request when they continue and continue and continue and continue. Oh, judge, you do it for me. Don't worry, I'm coming tomorrow. Don't come. I'll be here. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Meaning that even if an unrighteous judge who does not regard man or fear God, even that person will act and give you the widow what she's looking for. Now, Jesus used the widow because a widow, no defender. If you use businessman or rich man, but widow means that the least, I mean, he could easily have gone away with it. So even if the unrighteous judge would give her, how much more the righteous God? You see, an unrighteous judge will give when someone keeps coming. Then compare it to the righteous God who hears his elect crying day and night. Day and night. Even though he is delaying or bearing long, even though he hasn't given it to you yet, and you keep asking. Similar to the unrighteous judge. And that's where many Christians fall short, because they don't keep asking. They fall short. They end the asking at a point. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. It means that, yes, he's very long, but when he acts, it is swift. It is fast. It is speedy. It is precise. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? Let me say it in another way. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, Shall he find people praying persistent prayer? Persistent prayer is prayer of faith. So when you persist and keep asking someone something, it is because you believe that the person has the power and can do it so long as you keep coming. Pray because prayer is a great act of faith. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So ladies and gentlemen, just continue to pray. Just continue to pray. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hebrews 11:6. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that look, without faith, it is not possible to please God. So it's very interesting. So it means that God prefers us to come and continue. He prefers it to someone who just prays a few times and doesn't, because he did, haven't received it, they stop praying. Jesus actually prefers us to keep praying. But without faith, and we've already found out that faith also means that you are praying persistent prayer. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that continue to pray, because they know that he would reward them. But without faith, it is impossible. Impossible means 0%. You and I cannot please God without faith. For he that cometh to God in prayer or in anything must believe that God exists. Even the demons believed God exists, so that's not enough. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So if I'm seeking God and I'm doing things because I'm seeking God and I believe that he will reward me because of that, I'm pleasing him. Versus someone who is doing the work of God, not knowing that God would reward them. Whatever we are doing in church, if we are not doing it knowing that God will reward us, God is happy, he will clap for us, the angels are clapping in heaven. But the pleasing will not apply. It can't. And that this attitude, when you have this attitude, it will motivate you to continue to serve God no matter what is happening.
Amen.
No matter what you are going through, no matter the situation, you will continue to serve God because you know that it is he who is going to reward you and you are doing it for his reward.
Amen.
So prayer is a great act of faith. These are some of the reasons we must pray.
Amen.
So what does it mean? Those who don't pray, it means that they don't really believe that prayer can have a greater impact than their efforts. Otherwise, they would have been praying. Let me repeat it. When someone does not pray at all, it means that the person does not believe that the prayer is going to avail much compared to their efforts. Did you get that? And because if you someone has been diagnosed with a disease, an incurable disease, cancer, a sarcoma or carcinoma, and they've been given X months to live, maybe 9 months, and there is not a speculation, but there is news coverage. There's so much data proving that this particular hospital and their remedies cures even 50% of stage 4. Look, the place you will not be able to enter the hall, and the appointments, they'll be overbooked. Why? Because there is guarantee and proof from the results, but we are saying 50% success rate. You are not even seeing 100%, 50% success rate. Because 50% means most likely 50% is very high. If they tell you that this particular road, even 20% of the people who ride on that road die by accident, even though it's 20% is very high in statistics, because it means that for every 100 people, 20 will die. The likelihood of being in the 20 the first time might not be hold. But look, 10 years, it adds up. Am I preaching to somebody? So anyone who prays gives God a message and the angels that, look, the person is praying because they believe that without prayer, things will be different. They believe that without prayer, things will be different. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Because truly, without prayer, we don't know what... I mean, those who even pray for 10 minutes a day or maybe 20 minutes a week, you don't know, even the 20 minutes is sustaining. How much more 1 hour? Or zero, even zero. How much more zero? Big, there's a movie, Big Trouble in Little China. How much more someone praying? Who prays? Look, prayer is an act of faith. That's why, you see, and prayer is asking God for something or discussing something with God or communicating with God. Prayer is communicating with God. So it means that the Roman soldier or the nobleman, Jesus went to Cana of Galilee where he performed his first miracle at the wedding. And Jesus saw a nobleman. A nobleman said that his son was dying. And Jesus said that he should go his way if he believes. And the man said he believed. Then Jesus said, go your way. Your son is healed. How many remember that? Then the Roman soldier said, please, my servant I love greatly is at the point of death or is sick. So please come and heal him. So as Jesus was going with his entourage to go and heal, the Roman soldier said, please, I know the Jewish custom that a Jewish person is not supposed to go into a Gentile's house. So please, I'm a Gentile. You don't need to come into my house. You are a man of authority, and I understand how authority is. I am a man under authority. I have people over me, and I have people under me. I tell one person, go, and he'll go. Come, and he'll come. Sit, you sit. Stand, you stand. So I know that because I have authority, and I'm able to tell someone to get up, go, sit. In the same way, when you speak, things will happen. Amen. So just say the word. My servant to be healed. Jesus said that, wow, I've not seen so great faith. No, not in Israel. So he prayed. When you and I are praying, it is as if we're in 2,000 years ago. If you understand what I'm saying, prayer is believing that we are speaking to God who is in present. So blind Bartimaeus and all those people were praying. If you are linking it to how we are now. Because we can't see him to talk to him physically. But when we are speaking to him, he is with us. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them, that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. The Bible says that there was a paralytic being lowered from the roof. There was a meeting, a healing meeting. When you watch Oral Roberts' old healing lines and Jack Cole and some of these people, there's a long line of people, and you sit, you pray for them, lay hands on them, pray for them. That's how Oral Roberts did his miracle. I mean, God did his miracles through him. And imagine a long line, but those were open crusades. But imagine it's not open, but it's in a house. And some people cheat and break the roof and lower the person in the midst whilst he's praying for them. So cut corners, cut the line. So since then, I've realized that even if people if someone is hungry for God and is cutting corners, if someone is hungry for God and is doing what the paralytic did, whatever it means, I leave them to just do it. Because the master did it. I don't understand. I don't need to understand. But Jesus did not say, how dare you? Because that's what I'll do. Come on. Are you insulting? Do you think we are fools here? I mean, I've said such things before in meetings. Do I look like a fool? We're having a shepherd's meeting, and a particular lady, many people had things to do. Some people called, pulled me to the side and said, oh, you know what, please, I have one or two meetings. So I said, you can go. Then a particular lady said, no, I have to go because I'm busy and the people here might not be busy like me, but I'm busy. I said, you have insulted us. It was a very wild thing for the person. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. So how dare you? Cut the line. Are you? But Jesus didn't do that. What did Jesus do? He said, and Jesus seeing his faith. So his faith was seen by the action of taking the risk to break the roof and lowering himself through his friends down. That act of impudence and importunity. That's anadeia. Importunity. That shameless act of, I don't care, there's a line, I don't care what people think, break the roof and come. That, Jesus said, wow. And Jesus, seeing their faith, saith unto him, thy sins are forgiven thee. So faith can be seen by your action and my action. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Mark 2:5. Continue. And when they could not come near unto him for the press, there was such a crowd that the guy couldn't come through because of the crowd. Is it? Definitely there'll be memory. But how could he allow him to just pass? So this kind of fair, I've stopped those things. I just look at what's the Bible saying. I just do what it is. Easy. Of course, unless it is wrong. But it means that this wasn't wrong. Mary, Martha, Jesus has come to your house. As he's come, there is food. He's hungry. So remember this. I'll read it. Yes, very good. So I'm hungry. Jesus is hungry, starving. But when he comes, Mary says that I don't care whether he's hungry or not. I'm listening. Martha is busy because Jesus needs to eat. And then Martha comes to complain to Jesus. Now, someone will say, but this is not fair. Complain to Jesus. Jesus, Lord, I'm tired. Please ask Mary to help me to cook food for you. Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are encumbered with so many things, but Mary has chosen the needful thing, and it will not be taken from her. Simple. Someone needs to cook. You see, the way God acts, someone needs to cook, but the person who cooks will fall short in receiving. Whoever it is. So what do you do? So we have to learn just how things are, because that's how God will be dealing with us. Jacob, Esau. Jacob, Esau. God could have prevented Jacob from receiving a blessing, but this man disregards it. The other man likes it. What did God do? God still showed Jacob that it's not good to cheat. He blessed him, and look at what the uncle did to him. God always has a way of showing it. Look at what the uncle did to him. Hey! Huh? But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, does thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." Hey, when Jesus likes small gathering, talking, fellowshipping, "I must do the works of him that sent me while it is day." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." Now, many things. Many things. Many things. I said what? Many things. But Mary has chosen the needful thing. She's chosen it. There is an important thing, like my eating, and there is the needful thing. The important thing can be taken, but the needful thing, no. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Simple. Mary is going to continue. Now the paralytic, Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven you." Then the Pharisees turned around and said, "This is blasphemy. What?" But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Mark 2:6. What did they say? "Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your heart? Which is easier for me to do?" Which one is easy? For me to say to the sick man, "Your sins are forgiven you," or to tell the sick man, "Rise, take up your bed and go home"? Which one is easier? Good. And then what does it say? "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the sick of the palsy, "I say unto you, rise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy home house." And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, in as so much that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it in this fashion." So he proved that he can forgive sins. That was enough. But what I'm looking at is the faith produced results. Similar to the Gentile woman, she prayed, "Jesus, Jesus, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Heal her. Heal her." Jesus was just ignoring her, just moving. She was following. Similar to praying persistent prayer. It's the same thing. Jesus is moving. It's as if you are praying and Jesus, he can't hear you. It's as if you are praying and God is not listening. He's still moving. And then the disciples, the voices in your head, "Come on, come on, get away, get away." Meaning that don't waste your time. God is not going to answer the voices and some of the people telling you. Yeah. Anytime that you are going to do something and you hear negativity or that, it hasn't been done before, it won't be done by you also, don't waste your time talking about that topic with them. Then Jesus stopped and said, "Look, my woman, I have not been sent to you people, but only to the lost tribe of Israel, because I've been sent to them and the word will move from Israel. And also, it is not fair or right for me to give the children's bread to dogs." And the woman said, yes, it's true. You see, if she didn't have an answer, that would have been the end. The daughter would have died with the demon. She said, yeah, because he was not going to heal. He was just moving. And then the woman said, yes, it is true. Because look, no matter how, children and some adults who behave like children, which we all will fall short in that. Look, when you are eating bread, the crumbs, there will be crumbs on the table. And the woman was sharp enough to know that no matter what crumbs, you find crumbs. So she said, look, even the children, you see, even the dogs, you called me a dog, but the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall off the children's table. By saying this, she identified herself with what Jesus was saying and was able to give an answer that deserved her miracle. Meaning that Jesus has put, not a limitation, but Jesus has put a roadblock in for her. The children's bread is not for the dogs. Then the woman says that, okay, true. Now let me put myself in the place of a dog because that is what the master has called me. Now, what do dogs do in relation to the children and their bread? Give the answer. Jesus said, your faith. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. It's not like here in America where actually there's some dog food, canned, all these nice things. It's different in those days and in some parts of Africa. You don't get that.
No
way. And he said unto her, for this saying, go your way. Just go. You've said this thing, go. Go home. The devil is out of your daughter because you've said this. Just go. So sometimes what you say, what sometimes you say in your prayer, sometimes what you say to someone, God will say, no, you've said it. It's okay. Thank you. It's enough. Just receive. It's yours now. Just go and take it. Faith, prayer is a great act of faith. So you and I must develop the habit of praying. Oh, you don't understand. I've prayed for 6 weeks. Only 6 weeks. Only. No, but I don't understand. Apostle Paul prayed 3 times, and I've prayed for 6 weeks. And he prayed 3 times, and he said he didn't pray anymore because God's grace is sufficient and his strength is made perfect. So the 6 weeks is enough. No. When you've been caught to the third heavens and heard things that cannot be uttered, and God has given you a certain revelation and told you why the thorn in the flesh must exist, then you can say that. But until then, just don't worry about Apostle Paul. Prayed for 2 months, only 2 months. God did not give a time. God did not give a time. Jesus just said, pray. And the devil knows how to dampen our spirit and how to cause us to give up on prayer. Because you say, look at A. Did he get it? Look at B. Did B get it? Look at C. Did C get it? How long have you been praying and you are asking for it? You are still praying. Go ahead. We are waiting. We are watching you. That's the devil. But the Bible, whose reports do we believe? Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought what? Always to pray and not to faint. Sometimes, certain prayers will happen immediately. Answer. Other times, it will tarry. Why some tarry and some are immediate? That one is God's story. We don't need to understand it. But what we do know is that he answers prayer. What do you think? Hallelujah. Shall we stand to our feet? And let's speak to the Lord.